story. I mean, again, I could use something here. This is again Game Theory 26. And he's talking about the Freemason, their symbol, the, what do you call it, the compass and the, well, you know, this angle there. And then there's a G, which he says, I want to look that up, stands for, you know, geometry, generation, whatever. And then he says, I don't know, I mean, he's kind of, if not wild, at least he's daring in his ideas and thought processes here, that, yeah, they now use AI for that, to establish the, you know, the geometry, meaning the order. And, you know, God created this world, but then God left this world to us to fix it up and put, you know, order here and create. And then he mentions Gollum, which is very interesting. Hey, it's not Gollum, it's from Lord of the Rings. It is, because I have the book in my bookshelf, Golem, written by Gustav Meyrink. And I read this book in my 20s. Early 20s. And it is interesting that he mentions it, because Golem is just that. It's a Jewish, I don't know how old, story about how they created an artificial being out of clay, they say there. It's interesting. And this is an interesting quote here from Peter Thiel from his book Zero to One, page 103 to 106. Well, he's quoting Faust here, I think. The few who knew what might be learned, foolish enough to put their whole heart on show and reveal their feelings to the crowd below, mankind has always crucified and burned. Anyway, so he's talking about that there are secrets of nature and secrets of people, and he's saying, he's talking about starting a company or building a company. He says, in practice, there's always a golden mean between telling nobody and telling everybody. Because he said, you know, who should you tell? Whoever you need to, and no more. Well, there's always a golden mean between telling nobody and telling everybody, and that's a company. The best entrepreneurs know this. Every great business is built around a secret that's hidden from the outside. A great company is a conspiracy of change the world. When you share your secret, the recipient becomes a fellow conspirator. So yeah, we're talking a bit secret society here, don't we? And this man who wrote this is probably, well, he's one of the most powerful men in the world today. One of those who made Donald Trump into president and keeps him there probably. And one of those behind the technocrat power play that we're talking about here. And it's interesting because you're talking here, and this is, again, as I said, Game Theory 26, talking about the Oracle company, and I happen to be educated as a database administrator for Oracle, so I pretty much know what's there, down to the very bottom of it. the programming code. And he tells a story, I can check out if it's correct, but that when they started, they were failing all the time. It was very bad database technology. But they were taken up or employed by whatever, the Navy, and he says, you know, all kinds of government, you know, even CIA, because they wanted, you know, the database behind there to manage everything. And then he's asking, you know, but why did they put all this money and support into that, which was not very good technology? And now this Peter Thiel is saying, that it's about you know, it's not about the programming, the hacking of the code down there and all this, you know, producing all this stuff. It's about the occult. You access the occult. If you really want to make a lot of money, don't spend your time programming and looking for the best technology. Look at the occult. Figure out the secrets of humanity and build your company around that idea, and you will come to dominate. So, it's interesting, I mean, just throwing this in here, that was a quote from Jung, that theory that he's building here, kind of, that, yeah, I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? It's about understanding, let's say, you know, here we are, Oracle building a database, and very complex stuff. I was down there inside it and saw really how complex it is. And then, you know, they educate people and like us to handle it and to use it. You know, nowadays banks use it, and you know, it was in those days especially, it was just the state of the art running the whole world, you know, the computer servers. But that's not really what is about, what it is about, right? It's about what you do with it. To understand, you know, the deeper hidden levels of what's going on here, you know, in the world, humanity, and the needs and the plans and the ways of thinking and the secrets of the universe, you know, or nature. And in other words, then what you can use it all for. And then we can think again into this AI, yeah, we can use it for that. For building this new dimension, this God, and so on. I mean, it is actually, I mean, I would say at least it's good enough for our story, connecting that to the occult, you know, this technology thing and the computers and the AI and all that.
So it's like joking, you're saying that if you want to start a company, start a religion first. And I think that what that he means that, you know, the underlying, the preaching, the purpose, secret and not secret, that should be fulfilled, and the goals and the, you know, meaning of it all, and so on. And I think this is Peter Thiel. He says, the best startups might be considered slightly less extreme kinds of cults. The biggest difference is that cults tend to be fanatically wrong about something important. People at a successful startup are fanatically right about something those outside it have missed. You're not going to learn those kinds of secrets from consultants, and you don't need to worry if your company doesn't make sense to conventional professionals. Better to be called a cult or even a mafia.
Which is interesting, because I've seen cults from the inside and outside and know the principle, the psychology that powers and makes them grow and appear. And yeah, I mean, you see these startups, and I've seen it, and I wondered, you know, looking at it. I was there in the IT bubble in 99, even a little bit inside it, and saw it from the inside. And there it was, startup companies, which are less about actual products produced, but more about an idea that is just great, and we will really market that idea to the potential investors, the risk capitalists, because yes, our ideas are wild, but it's the wild ideas that succeed, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, some of them were fanatic. I saw such people there, the same gleaming eyes as in the religious cults. But yeah, they hope that we are fanatic about something that we have seen that the others haven't seen. And we're going to grab that market. Okay, here is another quote. Empire of AI by Karen Howe. Page 400. 6 years after my initial skepticism about OpenAI's altruism, I have come to firmly believe that OpenAI's mission to ensure AGI benefits all of humanity may have begun as a sincere stroke of idealism, but it has since become a uniquely potent formula for consolidating resources and constructing an empire-esque power structure. It is a formula with three ingredients. First, the mission centralizes talent by rallying them around a grand ambition, exactly in the way John McCarthy did with his coining of the phrase artificial intelligence. Quote, the most successful founders do not set out to create companies, Altman reflected on his blog in 2013. And that was end of quote before Altman. They are on a mission to create something closer to a religion. And at some point, it turns out that forming a company is the easiest way to do so. And that was also a quote by Altman. So yeah, using AI to create an empire, and there we have our Rick in the middle of all that, and he can see it, and he can say these things in his own words, and we can show it. He can show it to us. Well, and this Altman is Sam Altman, who is the CEO of OpenAI. Well, Sam Altman says also, quote, people talk about how much energy it takes to train an AI model, but it also takes a lot of energy to train a human. It takes like 20 years of life and all of the food you eat during that time before you get smart. So yeah, it's a little bit again there again, this we and the AI are kind of the same. And it's all about energy and how to use energy to get the desired result. So you can train a human to get smart, meaning to think what you want them to think, or an AI. Jiang says, you're just an energy that I can turn into a cube
to create my holy platform of reason, you know, to make an order the way I think it should be made. And then we got another person. I'm just throwing, you know, memo quotes or references here. Alexander C. Karp, K-A-R-P. And he has written a book called The Technological Republic. And he founded a company called Palantir.
So you've got Oracle creating the databases and all the information that we find there in the AI, that the AI is using, where all the information about us is stored and all that, is stored in Oracle databases. And then, for instance, this Palantir takes that information and predicts how you will behave according to that. And, you know, there are these different layers of it. Okay, so finally Peter Thiel writes, how might such an antichrist rise to power? Let's see if I can see it all. By playing on our fears of technology and seducing us into decadence with the antichrist's slogan, peace and safety. Which is, when you think about that statement, quite remarkable. We should, in other words, not have fear for technology. The AI is all benign and good. And if we believe in peace and safety, then we are being seduced into decadence. What a statement by such a person who is actually quite powerful and influential today. It's a causal lecture series on the Antichrist. You'll probably find it somewhere. Sorry, casual lecture series. So, well, does it mean that AI is the return of Christ? So, yeah, I mean, they're telling us, the big scientists, we have Richard Dawkins there, saying we are robots. And then they're talking about planting in chips in our brains with AI connectors. And, well, whether that is metaphorical, what it is, this AI thing, is definitely about that, of somehow or other, you know, shaping our reality. This is how a good world should be. This is how the world looks like when it's free and good and safe and everything is fine for you and you just conform. You just, you know, live the way you're supposed to live, like others, normal life, you know. And you don't go with the evil ones over there, thinking in wrong, false, bad, evil, terroristic ways. That kind of thing, that's enough. You don't need to implant a physical thing in the head. It's now such a almost perfected system that has been built using these computers, where people are hooked up to it through screens, mainly on their phones, what used to be phones that are now screens, but also the social, even more powerful, the social collective consciousness. Everybody knows that this is true. Everybody knows that they are evil. And so on. And it's not even about knowing, it's just about growing up with that conviction. This is the worldview. This is the way the world is. Don't you know? Are you one of them? So this, in a way, is a natural conclusion of this philosophy of materialism, or the purpose of it, the goals. That, yeah, we are just robots. Consciousness is there, somehow or other, in those robots. And it's all about that consciousness. And when you shape that consciousness, you reshape the whole world. I mean, maybe we are then virtual robots. And the whole world is simply virtual, it's in our minds. And so, yeah, the perfection, you know, when we actually build our golem and build our heaven on earth, build God, then that's what it is. It's a perfect artificial intelligence, building an artificial heaven. And once we do that, there will be peace, there will be happiness, there will be safety. And it's going here, that human subjectivity is bad because it leads to sin, it leads to errors, it leads to confusion. If we now think alike, you know, in that perfect box there, the world will be perfect. We now achieve a common brotherhood of humanity. We now achieve God if everyone thinks alike and follow our God, AI.
Okay, so